Is magical thinking a toxic mimic of the way our thoughts affect reality? So sometimes when I think about magical thinking, I think about our lack of resistance to the dominant culture's murder of the planet. And I think about a metaphor that I think about quite often, which is if space aliens came down from outer space and they were killing the oceans and they were changing the climate and they were putting docks in every mother's breast milk and they were killing the planet and causing the greatest mass extinction in the history of this planet. If space aliens were doing this, we would be resisting and we would know how to resist. We would be destroying the infrastructure that allows them to wage war on the planet. We would be fighting back with everything we have to defend the planet that is our only home. But because we have been raised in the system and because our primary identification is with the system and not with the real world, not with the planet that is our only home, we become really stupid and we become really crazy and we will do anything and think anything in order to avoid actually resisting because we've been raised in a system where if you're raised in an abusive system, one of the things that happens is you end up identifying with the system more than you end up identifying with yourself or with other victims of the culture. That's part of the point of abusive systems is to inculcate us into identifying with the oppressor. And so how does this relate to magical thinking? Is that we know in our bodies that this culture is killing everything. And we know that it is completely crazy. And we know that we as a collective are addicted to this system. I just read the other day that rickets is coming back because children are playing so much video games and they're spending so little time outside that they're not getting enough sunlight and rickets is returning. And if that's not, oh, and I also read just the other day that young children ages 4 and 5 are not learning the gross motor skills that children need to survive. So there are children who are 4 years old who aren't knowing how to physically make their bodies run or walk properly or climb a jungle gym because once again, they're spending all their time indoors. They're having screen time as opposed to real time. And so all of this is making us really crazy. And so there's another part of this too, which is the momentum of the dominant culture is so fierce and so overwhelming that it can be really easy to feel powerless, especially when we don't allow ourselves to question the economic system itself, to question the culture that's killing everything. So if the culture is killing everything, and if you can't question the culture that is killing everything, it is very easy to end up feeling really powerless. But it feels terrible to feel powerless. And so we start doing magical thinking where if I just buy a Prius, things will be okay. If I just vote Democrat, things will be okay. If I just recycle, things will be okay. If the Democrats are in charge, the EPA will actually protect us. And once again, there are analogies to abused children that are very direct. If I can just clean the dishes well enough, I won't get beaten. If I can just make myself small enough, I won't get beaten. If I can just be a good enough kid, if I can just be perfect, if my behavior can be perfect, then I won't get beaten. And it's the same on the larger scale that we think if we just live well enough, if we just make sure the roving eye of Sauron doesn't fall on us, things will be okay. But I think one of the first and most important realizations we have to have is that things will not be okay. And once you understand that things are not going to be okay, and once you understand that this culture is actually killing the planet, and you allow yourself to question that and you break your identification with it, then you don't have to rely on the magical thinking. You know, we see this sort of magical thinking in many, many cultures that I think about Tainter's book, The Collapse of Complex Societies, where he talked about how many times civilizations, as they would start to crash, they would take the thing that had made their civilization grow in the first place, and they would, as it starts to fall apart, they just do more and more of this thing that made it grow in the first place. So if what made your civilization grow in the first place was creating big stone heads, as your civilization starts to fall apart, well, gosh, we have to create more big stone heads. The same with if what made the universe hold together was human sacrifice, and your universe is starting to fall apart, well, what we need is more human sacrifice. Or if what made your civilization grow was economic growth and technological so-called progress, well, what you need is more economic growth and technological progress in order to maintain, even though everything's falling apart. And those are also forms of magical thinking. It's like we see the same thing in interpersonal relationships. It's all the same whether we're talking about the social conditions or the interpersonal relationships. Do you see this in interpersonal relationships? If the relationship is falling apart, but we need to go on a romantic vacation, and that's going to solve the problems. That's a form of magical thinking, to think that will address the problems that you're not actually addressing. And this is, so I've addressed the sort of insane parts of magical thinking, but I think that magical thinking really is a toxic mimic of how we do affect each other through our, you know, I was at the post office or at the mailbox a couple days ago and saw one of my neighbors who was asking about, I asked him how he's doing. He said, well, I'm having a really difficult time right now. He said, he's very religious. He said, I'm having a difficult time right now because we're making a big family decision and we aren't sure what is God's will. And this is a really interesting conversation for me because there's a line that has always affected me since when I read it when I was a teenager, which is by Seneca, which is the fates guide those who will and those who won't they drag. And I think that it is really important for us to attempt to align ourselves with the flow of the universe itself and to not try to control a forest, for example, but to fall into its rhythms and to listen to what the forest itself wants and the river itself wants and what the bears who live outside your home, your house, want. And that can be very fraught with the possibility of misunderstanding. So many people have asked me, and I hope it's clear how this all relates. I hope I can bring it all back together. So many people have asked me over the years, how does one participate in interspecies communication? And what I always say is, have you ever had a dog or a cat? And a lot of people say yes. And I say, how did the dog or cat let you know that their water dish was empty? And the answer is that the cat will look at the water dish, look at you, look at the water dish, look at you. And so you can read that language, you can figure out what they want, but that is fraught with the possibility of projection. And then I step back and I say, so have you ever made love with someone? And they'll say yes. And I'll say, so when you did they have to tell you verbally, do this now, do that now? Or were you able to read their body and to read their expression as to what they were wanting. And my point is that we are capable of reading signs from others that come in more than a verbal language. And one of the problems is it is very possible to project and to misunderstand. And this can happen with language too. And a great example is that I was doing laundry at my mom's, and I had done laundry and I was folding towels. And my mom said, "Would you like some help with that?" And that's what she said. It was very nice. And what I heard her say was, "You're doing it wrong. I'm going to do it right." And I've known my mother for 56 years, and still we both speak English. And still there was this projection that what she said is, "Would you like help?" I said, "No." And she said, "Okay." But what I had heard was her saying, "You're doing it wrong." And so that's when we both speak English. So how much more difficult would it be if I speak English and the other person speaks only German? Then how much more can we possibly project? And then what if I speak human and the other is a dog? So we both speak mammal, but they don't speak human and I don't speak dog. Or what if it is a lizard? Then we both speak animal, but I don't speak reptile and it doesn't speak mammal. So there's more possibility for projection. And so my point is that the universe is so complex that it's possible to project many things on it. That doesn't mean that we aren't communicating with everybody else all the time. That doesn't mean that dreams aren't significant. It doesn't mean that you can't go with the flow of the universe. But magical thinking in many ways, so magical thinking can indeed be a toxic mimic of taking the time to listen to what the other really wants, whether the other is, you know, forest, river, universe. But I think there are some standards we can go by. And this takes us back to the beginning, I hope, which is that when people use magical thinking solutions to try to keep this culture going a little bit longer, they're not actually listening to the universe at all. That's like saying, you know, "I want to be in a relationship with you, but I'm only going to listen to what you have to say that allows me to maintain my domination of you," which is not actually listening to the other at all. And so to take this back to the beginning, if we don't question this culture that is killing the planet, we end up with these, let's get rid of the word magical thinking for a while and just say these projections of our own, what we want versus what the other actually wants. And we project onto them that they need to, that the forest needs to be managed. We project onto them, back up one more time. And one of my favorite lines is that unquestioned assumptions are the real authorities of any culture. And if you don't question the unquestioned assumptions of this culture, such as an industrial economy can be sustainable, that an extractive economy can be sustainable, that the world doesn't need to be managed, if you don't question... Sorry, I said that wrong. Let's back up, cut that and go with the... I've always loved the phrase, unquestioned assumptions are the real authorities of any culture. And so if you don't question the assumptions of this culture, assumptions such as an industrial economy can be sustainable, an extractive economy can be sustainable, the assumption that the world needs to be managed, that the assumption that we can manage the world without killing it, if you don't question those assumptions, all of your solutions will be, in fact, magical thinking, because they won't be based on reality. I think about the medical model a lot, and I've done this myself. You know, I have Crohn's disease. I've had other circumstances, and there have been times where I've gotten this crazy idea. Suddenly I think, oh, you know, what I did this once. It's like, oh, there's a pond right out here. Oh, if I drink water from this pond, it will cure the Crohn's disease. You know, I got this crazy idea. So hell, I went out and drank some water from the pond, didn't do a damn thing. And there are, it's the same on the larger scale. And they're really absurd when we recognize them for what they are. And we don't have time for magical thinking in that way. We do need to listen to the earth. We do need to try as best we can to stop our projections. And then the main thing is we need to stop this culture from killing the planet.